As I greeted you this morning, my confession was that my parents would say, "Are you listening to me?" I was thankful they never said, "Are you going to do what I said?" I think they already knew the answer. Were you ever like that? Are you still like that? In today's narrative, in the book of Acts, we get to hear about the early church. And you need to put some people in context. That is, you need to understand who they are and what they're up to. We have in this reading, we have the priest, the temple captain of the guard, okay? We have the Sadducees, we have the Sanhedrin, and we have Peter and his buddy. Now, Peter and John were speaking and sharing the good news of salvation, and they were speaking about the resurrection. But there were groups that didn't want to have that message out. And you and I would find that, man, that's got to be strange. Because these same people were the ones around when Jesus was around. These people had heard and maybe even seen miracles. These people had heard about the feeding of the 5,000 and all the women and children in addition to that. These people had heard about Lazarus had been raised from the dead. These people had heard about all of this stuff that Jesus was doing and had done. And then these people heard about his death. Not simply that he died, but the trial, the whipping, the mockery, the nails, the cross, the darkness, the veil in the temple, tearing in two from top to bottom, separating what was called the Holy of Holies from the congregation of worshipers inside the temple. These people had heard about the resurrection. These people had heard about the angels in the tomb who said, "He is not here, he is risen." They had heard, but they didn't listen. Let me tell you about the Sadducees and why they didn't follow. The Sadducees go back way into the Old Testament. The Sadducees were often priests. The Sadducees were educated. The Sadducees went with any group that was in power. So they were the hobnob people. They were the political movers and shakers. They were the ones who loved to be esteemed by their robes, their clothing, their lifestyle, and who knew them. That's what they were like. The Sadducees did not listen to the prophets, would not read the scrolls of the prophets. The Sadducees liked the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And even in those first five books, there are the promises of the Savior and God's word and God's instructions. But they went through the external motions of saying, "We know God's word." Well, they knew it, but they didn't follow it. The Sadducees denied the bodily resurrection. They believed in an afterlife, but they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in angels or spirits. You get the drift? They were the people that went to church in that time, but they followed their own thinking and they followed their own path because they thought they knew better. They found ways to succeed, and they found ways to survive. And in the times when Christ was on earth, they played nice with the Romans because they didn't want to suffer, and they didn't want persecution, and they didn't want to lose business. So they played nice with the Romans. They didn't want to shake up things. They liked their role of influence. That was a Sadducee. And when we put it that way, we realize how sad it is that you see what they were like, what they thought, and what they believed. The temple captain didn't come alone. They showed up suddenly. The temple captain is a Levite. The police, the guard of the temple, were of the family of Levi. And they had a job description. And the temple captain answers specifically and directly to the chief priest. At this time, it's Caiaphas. And Caiaphas answers to his father-in-law, who used to be the chief priest. The temple captain is the one that keeps order. And if there was anything that these men were doing, is it was disturbing the order. They were telling a message that was not compatible with political survival, with prosperity, and everything else that the nation could grab, even though the Romans were in power. The temple captain liked his position, and he would do what it takes to keep it. Because like the chief priests, they can be removed. Caiaphas and Annas came. Annas had been chief priest. He had been chief priest when right after Christ had been born, and he was in power, but he was deposed. And then there were some others in the family that took over, and then Caiaphas eventually became chief priest. Caiaphas was chief priest when Jesus was on trial. Caiaphas had seen Jesus. Caiaphas thought it was better that he die. Isn't it amazing? What we begin to understand in this text is that there were people who heard, but they would not follow. It was in their heart and in their mind that there's a better way. There's another way, a smarter way, a different way, a glorious way. Whatever way they wanted to describe it, it was a path that was not going to lead to faith and to trusting in Jesus Christ, crucified Jesus Christ alive. When we look at our current times, are there people just like the Sadducees, the temple captain, the high priest and the family, the Sanhedrin? The answer is yes. They're able to quote scripture, but that doesn't mean they believe all of the scriptures. They're able to pick and choose the parts they like, but they set aside the parts they don't like. You know, it's so easy for us and anyone to say, yes, I know the truth, and at the same time to do the exact opposite. I was that way, raised going to church, a Lutheran church. In fact, many Lutheran churches all around the world. I was taught the Ten Commandments, and I was breaking every one of them. Got confirmed. You know, and I too took that oath. Are you? Will you? Yes. You know, by the grace of God, yes. And of course, Pastor Hanisch gave us the answers, just like I, as a pastor, now give the confirmands, adult and junior high, the answers. And yes, they have seen those questions. And yes, I pray that they are answering out of faith. And yet, we turn around and we sin in a heartbeat. So what do we learn? How can it be different? Well, when we look at Peter and the other disciples, we begin to behold, what does Christ mean and do for us that we may not only listen, but that we may follow? It tells us in the text, in the reading this morning, that Peter was full of the Holy Spirit. And so there's times that I, as a Christian, and maybe you go, well, I have the Spirit, but I don't know about full. I could use a little more. Could you use a little more of the Holy Spirit? What do you think? Okay. Make up your minds. You know. We've made a mistake in the sense that we think that if we only have a portion, we don't have enough. Does the Bible ever tell you that that portion is plentiful? The faith of a mustard seed can move anthills, right? No. Okay? Bumps in the grass? No. Mountains? Yes. You have the Holy Spirit. The world tries to convince us that there's a measuring rod, whether you're full of the Holy Spirit or not. And that isn't true. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have all the gifts you need. You lack nothing. Listen to the word of God. Has he not made you his own? Has he not redeemed you, body and soul? Has he not died and restored you by his death and resurrection? Or did he only do a little bit of you? Like, this arm is redeemed, but this arm isn't. You know. Think about it. Isn't that the way we start to think in our worldly ways? Peter is described as full of the Holy Spirit. That didn't make him more intelligent. That didn't make him smarter. His schooling was low. He was a fisherman. It didn't make him all of a sudden healthy from, you know, the toes all the way to the top of his head, and he had no aches and pains. It didn't mean his life was easy. It didn't mean that he had all the money in the bank that he needed and he could retire. It meant that his focus was on Christ instead of himself. Now, what does that change? If you're focused on self like the Sadducees, you recognize that your lifestyle and life is at risk. And you're going to do what you can to keep it. Peter's focus is on Christ. His life is in Christ. His lifestyle is about Christ. If they kill him, he lives. If he lives, he still lives. It's a win-win in that way. He's focused on Christ instead of fearing his own name and reputation. He doesn't start bragging about, well, we were there, you know, and or we got to see, or we got to do, or we get to participate. You know, I held out, you know, in passing that fish, but I finally gave in, and there were 12 baskets left over. I'm the one that collected the 12. Do you understand? There's no gloating. There's nothing about themselves and what they did and what they accomplished. It's all about Christ. If the people that have placed him on trial are going to attack, let them attack Jesus. Because that's the one that matters. And so we begin to see in the text, you know, how this unfolds for us. How living and walking by faith makes all the difference in the world. That our life is about hearing the Word of God and following the Word of God. Our life is about keeping our eyes on Jesus, as it says in the New Testament, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Our life is about hearing and living instead of just hearing and snoozing. Our life is about proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ alive. Our life is to be a witness for the sake and the power of the gospel. Are we the most important? No. Is Christ the most important? Yes. And in him we live and we have our being. And so like it says later on in the New Testament, if I live, I live for Christ. And if I die, I die unto Christ. My question to you is, what have you got to lose? So here's the challenge. There's a lot of people, a lot of voices, a lot of causes that want your ear, right? You need to measure carefully which are in agreement with scriptures. so that you are not distracted, that you are not, you know, misdirected, if you will, so that your life can give God the glory from sunrise to sunset and everything in between. Amen.